Thank you. The next question will be from David Lowe from Gnome. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, guys. Congratulations on the quarter. Just wanted to make a couple of points. I mean, I would second the other callers or a couple of the other callers' comments on the dividends. I think that'd be nice to have back. And also just on the hedging, it's possible to do something perhaps where a percentage greater than zero is hedged, but somewhere between zero and 100%, especially with provisional, the history of provisional payment type of issues. Once to sort of protect the downside, because I think you can get a greater multiple of your cash on your cash flow if the stability of your cash flow is greater. I think that would be pretty positive, especially at these prices up here, and to just have protect some of the downside. So I don't know. It was just sort of a
thank you for your comments. We have noted that one or two of you are raising both the dividend and the hedge question. Just, you made a comment about the provisional payment. It may be interesting to know and to note that in the circumstance that we came through in late 2008, which generated so much stress for our balance sheet as well as our peer companies, being the industry convention of final pricing of copper of M being the month of delivery plus 4, being 4 months after the month of delivery was the final price determined, is no longer a concern this year, insofar as the pricing mechanism for at least us and we believe the rest of the industry this year is M minus 1, which means that we know what the final price is when we deliver it.
Right. I mean, that could change next year, though, right? I mean,
it could, in which case we would revisit that whole risk question.
Okay. I mean, generally, when the prices are high, it goes the other way, right?
No, I don't think I don't think there's any strict pattern. I think it's more of a function of the view of the northern refining companies as to where the metal price will go, as well as the underlying supply and the demand of concentrates.
Right. Okay. So I guess I would throw out maybe 20-25%. Something to consider just in terms of protecting the downside in general, and maybe you get a higher multiple on the cash flow because of the certainty. So, but anyways, thanks.
I thank you for that. Just as a general response to. I think we're hearing, and we agree with you, we're hearing a several number of the callers suggesting that we are significantly undervalued, certainly in comparison to our peers, and Ray Goldie, one of our eminent analysts who follow us, as well as followers from other firms, have all got a much higher target price than today's price, and so it begs the question why. I don't know the precise answer, but it's my suspicion that the market wants us to see us continue to deliver the results that we have spoken to, and it's fair to say that in the last couple of years we have missed our targets, we have missed our milestones. We management are very mindful of it. We would say that a number of them were not achieved for reasons that were beyond our control, but that's not an acceptable answer to shareholders. The fact is, we missed them. And we, in the second half of last year, hopefully shareholders and followers will see that that trend is changing and that we are now delivering against our milestones. I think you'll find us being a little more conservative on some of our forecasts and guidance, with the delivery of results and outcomes and milestones against milestones, I think that confidence of the market will return, and with that confidence, hopefully will come a stock price appreciation.
One last comment too. I mean, you've definitely done a good job, meeting targets this year and navigating through a very difficult time. And I think that's a great testament to management here. The only last comment I'd have is just, for us, we would like to, we'd prefer to see a dividend versus further investments in public companies. I think it could be more useful to shareholders as a dividend. But anyways, thanks, congratulations, and good quarter.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. The next question will be from Kenneth Hefner from Lakeland. Please go ahead.
Hello, several questions. One being, we have a contract for 45,000 tons of the tailings per day, and you're separating out the fine and the coarse.
Right.
Is the 45,000 tons the total being removed, or will it eventually be just the 45,000 tons of the coarse, which I take it as the fine we're not going to process and just redeposit?
It's the total removal which is the limit.
It includes the fine?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. About when do you foresee being able to reach the would it be this summer or late in the year for 45,000?
No, in the fourth quarter.
And there was a comment as far as electric possibly being as low as going below 9 cents a kilowatt hour. Where is it right now currently?
At the present time, the electricity price has increased. That certainly has to do with the earthquake, but also seasonally, it's always higher in the first quarter of the year. So it is right now in the 13 to 15 cent range. I think the comment which was made earlier is sort of the trend. And when you look at the trend last year, we started out at about 14 cents in the first half, and then trended down to 12 and 9 to 10 cents in the last two quarters. And it was below 9 cents in the last month. I think in November, and then it will now in the first quarter be a little bit higher again. But I think the comment also referred to the long term trend, and you may or may not know that we do have an electricity supply contract which goes to 2017, and starting in 2013 we will have electricity costs which are fixed at that time at 6.2 cents marginal cost, and then you have to add to that the fixed costs, which would add about 1 to 2 cents. So that was the comment which was made earlier by Stephen, trending to about eight cents.
Okay, thank you. That helps very much.
Thank you. The next question will be from Randy Hildebrandt from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Hi there, guys. Thanks for the call here today. Hey, I've been picking up stock over the last year or so, and it's been following and tracking nicely along with the other copper stocks out there. And then something happened around October, and it just disconnected completely. I noticed in the level two, there's a constant selling from certain houses. I'm wondering what that is and what might change that. And you know, as I say, I'm looking at other copper stocks, and they're leaving this one behind right now. And just wondering what that's about. What can change that right now?
I don't think it's possible for us to comment on who's buying and who's selling on a call like this. Even if we know that for a fact. I'm sure your networks are probably better than even ours in terms of what the underlying reasons are. I think it's also fair to say that some of our peer companies have had significant success on the new project front. Prosperity for Taseko, for example, and Red Chris or Imperial as another example. So, you know, they are riding on the back of new growth and new expectation of growth, I should say. We don't yet have the benefit of that. We are still pulling ourselves out of the impacts of the downturn in late 08. Having said that, as I said earlier, we think that the valuations and the analysts that follow us would agree the valuations being applied to by the market would have us significantly undervalued. I think the key to what we have to do as management is continue to deliver against our milestones, and that arbitrage will close.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I've been hearing there's some new tailings areas with higher grade copper and such that you guys are looking to get. Is that something that's coming along all right, or?
Well, we have been looking at that for quite some time, and as you know, next to the Colibas tailings in which we are working right now, there is a major tailings pond approximately 500 million tons with grades which are at least at the same level as Colibas or higher. And we have been discussing this with Codelco for a long time, and we continue to discuss that, and we continue to be hopeful that at some point we will be able to work also these tailings. Further increase our production potential.
Okay. I see. Okay, and last question is, I was under the understanding you guys had some, you know, full-size generation capacity there that would be a backup in case, you know, the electricity costs were going high. Is that, and those are, I figured that was at lower cost than what you're paying right now. Is that not true, or why would they not be used now?
We would right now be at approximately break even to do that, because as I said, you have the marginal cost and you have the fixed cost, and you have to pay the fixed cost no matter whether you take electricity from the grid or not. And so if you add the fixed cost to the cost which it would cost us to produce from our own facilities, we would still not make any money at this point.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question will be from Chris Rohrer from Burnaby. Please go ahead.
Touching on something an earlier caller said, if we locked in a 330 copper price going forward, and by the fourth quarter, when you're up to speed on the old tailings, you'll have a run rate of approximately 55 million pounds a year. Looking at your costs, you'll have economies of scale. Costs will even go down. And the fact that your CapEx going forward is small, your free cash flow would be about two times we'd be trading at 2x cash flow, basically. And if you took all your free cash flow and applied it to buying back the shares, we could buy back the buy back half the float in 2 years. Now and then at that point in time, then you can resume with the dividend. What people don't understand is if you buy back half the shares first, an 8% dividend going forward for the next 10 years turns into a 16% dividend. And by locking in today's price and stating that you will, that the free cash flow would be put towards buying stock until half the float is bought, or until half the 176 fully diluted is bought back, the share price would be $1.50 in a couple of weeks.
Well, as we've said earlier, there are a number of people who share your view, and all of those views are noted. When we get to that position, I think that's a good strategy to get to. But unfortunately, shareholders and investors sometimes get ahead of themselves. We do have a good cash position, but we still have a significant amount of debt. We'd like to get the debt down first, but once we do that, some of these options and levers that you talk about to move the share price up are definitely something that we will pursue.
Yeah, well, what I said takes into account that naturally you pay back debt and that sort of thing. But that's what we're looking at. The return on investment is 50% by buying back your shares. And thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Just one more comment, and you know, and this comment should not sort of give you the impression that we are not continually looking into the possibility of further hedges, but you know there are also risks involved, and you have to take that into account. I mean, you know, perhaps the earthquake is a good example. If that earthquake would have happened 200 kilometers north of where it did, if you are in a hedge position, and the copper price would skyrocket because not only the little company Amerigo's operations would be destroyed, but a big operator like El Teniente would be destroyed, and the copper price would skyrocket. This company would be bankrupt because we would have to deliver. And the only way to deliver is to buy back that amount of copper in the market at horrendous prices. So management has to take these things also into account. The second thing which we have to take into account is that the royalty which we are paying to Codelco is based on copper prices. And if copper prices skyrocket and we have fixed our copper price, that could mean that our costs skyrocket and thus our cash flow would be reduced to very small amounts. So all these factors the management is taking into account and trying to make a decision
which recognizes
all of that and balances it.
Thank you. We have another question on the telephone lines from Terry Fisher in Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. I don't want to weigh in on what you've just been discussing, but I think that the last comment by Dr. Zeitler was very insightful, and I would agree with that. But I would say that the other callers make very good points about using any cash that the board decides to use for either dividends or share repurchase to go after the shares first. There's been significant dilution from share issues from the exercise of the warrants, and obviously it was necessary to do that a year ago, but it would be, I think, the best use of any cash that's available to do so at these prices to buy shares back before it ever pay a dividend. Anyway, that's just a comment. My question is, you've had quite a good write-up in the portfolio investments in the recent quarter, and I wonder if you could just comment about what the end game is for those investments going forward.
Yeah, we do have we have seen some recovery in a couple of our, and we wouldn't, they were never portfolio investments, they were always strategic investments, whereby we saw the potential for our involvement in the development of new crop of porphyries. The projects themselves haven't developed as quickly as we had hoped, and they've required additional funding, of course, and as a result, our stake have diluted a little bit. But nevertheless, they are continue to be strategic stakes, and we will be reviewing our holding of those over the next few months to make sure that we're optimizing the use of our capital.
Thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you have a question, you may press star one at this time. The next question will be from David Shapiro in Arlington. Please go ahead.
Hello again. On the other cost category, you know, that you disclosed sort of in your MD&A section, I was hoping to get a little bit of clarity of where we expect the ballpark of those to be running over the next year or two. On a per pound basis,
you're referring to the
which number you're referring to, David?
You have the power cost per pound, the steel cost per pound, and then this other category, which I guess you know, which I've is sort of I guess a catch-all for the remaining production costs.
Right. Yeah, well, as you can see from the comparison between 2008 and 2009, and if you would go further back, you'll see there's not that much variability in these costs, and we don't see any major variances coming up at this point.
Okay, so, I mean, if we take a look at 2009, right, it was 57 cents per pound. We expect that that could be a reasonable run rate or trend slightly lower due to higher production levels or...
Yeah, I would think because there are some fixed costs in there that it would trend lower.
Okay, very good. And then back on the power question, previous caller talked about sort of... you know, why would you not turn on the generators or whatnot? What is sort of that break-even point for when it starts making sense to flip the generators?
Well, at present oil prices of sort of the $80 level, we would be in the 11 to 12 cent. Marginal cost, and as I said, then you would have to add the cost which we have for standby of the grid, which at the present time also are, I think they are about 1.8 cents.
Yeah, closer to cents per pound.
Close to 2 cents, yeah.
So maybe that takes you closer to like 13 or so.
Well, yeah, or even 14, yeah.
Okay, so in this type of world, you know, is it a fair assumption to say then 14 cents should more or less be a cap on your power costs at this point in time, assuming oil stayed where it is now, you know, we should think that the more or less the worst power cost would be 14 cents.
Yeah, I think that's a good assumption.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from David Lowe in Nome. Please go ahead. Mr. Lowe, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my question has been answered. It's actually David Liu, but in any case, thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question at this time from Kenneth Hefner. Please go ahead.
Hello. Do you have some sort of estimate of, for the first quarter, what for of the copper that was manufactured, what percentage of it was from the, or will be from the old tailings? And I'm trying to calculate a little bit of how many tons of total tailings will be milled.
You mean the actual production of copper coming from the old tailings versus the actual production of copper coming from
correct it
from
was about
fresh
40,
tailings?
Correct. It was about 40% in the fourth quarter. I just wondered if it's about the same percentage, or if it went lower, or
it has gone lower. You have to, you know, in order, you said you want to calculate that. In the fourth quarter, we were in very good, from a copper content point of view, very good areas of the old tailings. In order to be, again, in very good areas, we had to open up new ground in the old tailings, and we did that in the first 2 months. So in the first 2 months of this year, we were in we produced less than the 40% from the old tailings. But this now has given us the possibility of again producing very good grade material and good recoveries from the old tailings starting in March. So, you know, starting in March here, we will increase that, and I'm sure it will go up to that level again. And then when we start moving the tonnage higher, you know, eventually when we are at the 45,000 tons maximum, we will produce probably on average about 50% from fresh and 50% from old.
Thank you. The next question will be from Mark Kellstrom from Summit. Please go ahead.
Hi. I was just kind of dovetailing off of that. I was wondering if you had given any kind of specific target for first quarter production volumes.
No, we had not. We only said that it will be significantly higher than first quarter last year. And first quarter last year was 7.1 or 0.2 million pounds. And even with the effect of the earthquake, we should still be higher. I would expect that we will be over 8 million pounds.
Okay. And obviously, despite the earthquake, the first quarter is impacted by maintenance issues at LCN.
Yeah, but that's the normal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And then on the 47 million pound guidance for the year, is that to reach that, is it contingent on implementing this $9 million CapEx program, or is that program kind of maintenance and expansion?
No, this is part of it, and that's why we will only get to the high extraction number toward the end of the year in the fourth quarter.
Okay, great. And for the record, I'm in favor of share repurchases, but not in favor of hedging to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We have to be with the debate.
Thank you. The next question will be from Michael Lamb in Toronto. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The tailings launder, was the bridge damaged, or Can you be any details on what part of the launder was damaged?
No. The bridge was not damaged. Otherwise, you know, the repair would have taken much longer.
Okay, so really, when you talk about the possibility that it was finished today, that there really is very little risk of this prolonging much further than even if it's another day or two.
Yes.
Okay. And then they said the pillars likely be also finished in a couple of days. Does that mean that nothing's going through, or they can do it while it's flowing?
No. They can do that while it is flowing. Yes.
Okay. And was there any reported? So how's the electricity supply? I mean, obviously that's really down power lines. Is electricity fully restored to the area?
Yes, it is restored.
Okay, as far as you know, there's probably no damage to power plants. I didn't hear of any, but this one.
No.
And just to clarify this, when you have the generators up and running, I guess the utility pays you to have them on standby. Yet you get paid just because they're up and running. Could you explain that a little bit?
Well, in order to have a long-term power supply contract, you have to pay a certain minimum fixed amount for that service, no matter how much kilowatt hours you take off the grid. And so, you know, whether you use your own power plant or not, you have to pay that to the power supplier. Was that your question?
Yes. Okay. No, that's fine.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Stephen Otteridge in Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just about the power plant, I was under the impression that if you were fired up in the event of emergency, that you would be getting some money from the grid people.
That is true, but for that, and as we have disclosed in our quarterlies before, for that we had to make some further changes to the power plant in order to be included in the overall grid. And this is what we are doing, and this will hopefully be done in the next few months, and then we will be integrated into the grid, and we will receive money for being integrated, and that's, for instance, the kind of money which we have to pay in order to have that possibility of receiving power. And here in that case, we will receive that such a standby fee for us being able to supply power to the grid when it is necessary.
Okay, fine, thanks. By the way, I'm against the hedging, but I am for sort of cash dividends on a regular basis. Okay.
Very
thank
good.
You.
This is turning into bit of a poll. There's another vote against hedging. Thank you very much. Any other questions, operator?
There are no further questions, so I'll turn the meeting back to you, sir.
Great. Thanks very much. And thanks, everyone, for listening. And we do thank you for your diligent questions. We appreciate it. We look forward to presenting our Q1 results in late April, early May.
Thank you. The conference call has concluded. You may disconnect your telephone lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.